إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we are talking about the issue of earning halal, and especially with regard to the use of interest-based finance, interest-based fundings. Earning halal is not restricted to this. One can earn halal, or the other way around, which is one can be indulging in some haram transaction without taking interest. For example, any transaction that involves deception of any kind, fooling people of any kind, any transaction that involves bribery, corruption, all of these are haram transactions. Even though a person may not be dealing with interest, but they are dealing with things like this which are prohibited. But here specifically we are talking about interest, and for a very, very specific reason, and that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only prohibited it, but prohibited it so severely. And we have been looking at the ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, especially with relation to this, from 275 to 279. And today we are on the second last of those ayat, which is 278, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتقوا الله وذروا ما بقي من الربا إن كنتم مؤمنين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, fear the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have taqwa of Allah, and give up what remains due to you from riba, which is the interest, from now onward, meaning from the time this ayat was revealed, if you are really believers. Now if you think of this ayah, if you reflect on this ayah, first and foremost, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu is a khitab, it is an address, which means that this, what is going to come from, come after that Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, is a direct command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the understanding of the mufassirin of the Quran, that any ayat which begins with Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu is an ayat of hukum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering the believers, and therefore whatever Allah has said after that Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu is a matter of hukum, and is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specifically ordered the believers to do. So it's not a question of discretion, it's not a question of saying, okay, this is a recommendation, and I will see if I can do it, I will do it. If I can't do it, then I'm sorry. That is not what it means. This is a specific direct instruction, direct order. So that's the first thing to understand, which is to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving a direct hukum. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, this is the warning, this is the heads up for this hukum, this is the way the hukum is framed. And then what is the hukum? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, even before the hukum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, after this Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ittaqullah. So the first part of the hukum is in two parts. First part of the hukum is ittaqullah. Have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying very clearly and specifically, O you believe, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is taqwa? What did we say as far as taqwa is concerned? We said that taqwa is the concern that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should not be displeased with us. Taqwa is the fear of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is very specifically saying, have fear of displeasing Allah. Which means what? Which means that if you displease Allah, then the consequences for you will not be good. Why must you fear displeasing Allah? Because consequences will not be good. Number one. Number two, where is Allah saying fear displeasing Allah? In something which, if you are not warned, then you will get into it. Yeah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying fear to displease Allah in something where you are not likely to go there anyway. And this is something which has some attraction. This is something which is a temptation. Right? It's something which has some temptation. It is something where if you are not warned, then the chances are that you are going to fall into that trap. So to save you and me from this trap, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, oh, you who believe, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jalla jalaluhu. Fear the displeasure of Allah. And then what does Allah say? Wadharu ma baqiya min ar-riba. Wadharu means to leave, reject. Whatever ma baqiya, whatever remains to you from rebirth. Now, this is specific to anyone who is dealing with rebirth, is specifically and especially to those who are lending money. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you have lent money on interest, then don't take the interest now. So, supposing you had lent the money now on interest, you have something due, he says, don't take it, give it up, forget it. So, after this ayat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on behalf of my family, on the behalf of the family of Abbas radiallahu anhu, Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, he said, I have forgiven all the loans that my uncle had given out on interest. Abbas radiallahu anhu was a banker, and before this ayat came, he was a banker, he used to lend out money and so on. But as soon as the ayat came, and Allah only knows how much, because he was a big banker, Allah knows how many thousands, millions, God knows what it was, how much, what the amount that Rasulullah just forgave and left. But this is the, if you see the asbab of this ayat, this also shows the whole issue of rule of law, the importance of law in Islam, where Rasulullah did not even put himself above this law. Nabi did not say, okay, here is this ayah, you follow it. Now what about you? No, this does not apply to me. This is not for me and my family. No. Every single, whatever hukum has come in the Quran, Rasulullah first and foremost, who was the number one person to obey that hukum? Rasulullah. There is no hukum in the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which Rasulullah himself did not obey but told people to obey. There's nothing like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aqimu Salah, who was the first one who prayed? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, give zakat, who was the first one? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made fasting fard, who was the first one who fasted? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For everything. Whatever came, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it first. And he applied it on himself and on his family first before anyone else. And that is why Islam is a religion which is based on a law. Islam is not based on somebody's whim and fancy. It's not based on some king. It's not based on, you know, what I feel like doing or you. No. Islam is based on a law. And that law is supreme. Because this law comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is very, very important for us to remember this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, give up what remains to you, whatever. And as we said, even though the ayah here is specifically addressing those people who have lent out money, it also means, as we said, all of these instructions of Sharia, especially with regard to haram and halal, they are 360 degrees in application. They refer to and they apply to anyone who has anything to do in any way with that particular matter. So therefore, if you say, well, I am not lending out money, but I have borrowed some money on interest, what must I do? Leave that. Leave that. Get out of that interest-based transaction. Do not remain in that interest-based transaction. This is absolutely critically important. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all gave a direct order. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned the person about the anger of himself, Jalla Jalalu. And then the third part of this ayah, which is, to me, it's a matter of such great danger. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, in kuntum mu'minin. Allah is saying, if you are believers. Now what do you understand from this? If you are believers is what? It's a conditional statement. It's a conditional statement, right? For example, your mother might say, do this. If you love me, do this. Now, if you don't do it, what does it mean? It means you don't love her. Simple as that. I mean, she made a conditional statement. If you love me, do this. Whatever it was, right? So it's not a question of saying, no, I love you, but this I will not. No. She made a specific conditional statement about a particular matter. Ta'alallahu al-amthal, we are not giving the example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is specifically saying this. In kuntum mu'mineen. If you are believers, if you are mu'mineen. So if I am a mu'min, what is the subut before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the proof that I can take to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalalu, inshallah, to say, ya Allah, I got out of this interest-based transaction. Whatever it cost me, it did not cost my iman. Specifically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this, this is the price of your iman. Pay the price. If you are a believer, get out of whatever interest-based transaction that you might be involved in. whether you are a lender, whether you are a borrower, whether you have somebody who has witnessed that deal. If you witness that deal, just make tawbah, inshallah, this is enough for you because you did not take or lend. But if you have lent the money, call the person and say, sorry, matter is over, pay back the principal amount, but the interest, there is nothing due from you. And if you have borrowed money, get out of that transaction absolutely immediately, because we do not want to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And tomorrow we'll go to that ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not even leave it there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took it a step further. But for the moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, as I mentioned, one, direct hukum. Two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us about his taqwa, gave us the hukum, wazaru baqiya min ar-riba, leave whatever is left from riba. And then the last point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in kuntum mu'mineen, if you are believers. It's a conditional statement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, prove that you are a believer. It's up to us to prove or not to prove as we wish. May Allah keep us away from all tests and difficulties. It is possible that if you get out of riba, alhamdulillah, you will be fine. And we have a case here. I mean, I know many cases, alhamdulillah, bismillah ta'ala. But another case here where a friend of ours had a mortgage on a house. Alhamdulillah, he understood this business of riba. So he went and foreclosed on that thing and he sold that house. And the people who were there, his parents and so on, very, very upset with this. So they didn't like this idea at all. Anyway, he sold it. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing, the price he got for the house, he was able to close the bank loan and buy a flat. So, I mean, this is also possible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. So the man did that. He got another job outside, abroad. He worked abroad. He came back and so on. Alhamdulillah. Now parents, everyone is very happy because, you know, they are living in this flat and so on. He sent his parents on Hajj. They came back from Hajj. Everyone is very happy. They've got plenty. Point is, either of these things is possible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can test you. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you plenty. The point is, the reason you are doing it is not because you are expecting to get more. You are doing it is because I do not want to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jalla jalla. Right. Very important. Second beautiful story is of the story of this man who had a roadside fruit shop. Again, it's a true story. So this man had a roadside fruit shop. So this friend of mine said, this person says, I went there and I saw there's nobody there in the fruit shop. But all fruit is there. And there is a note saying, my mother is very ill, so I have to look after her. Please take whatever fruit you want. There is a price list there, and put the money there. There is a, you know, mat. Put the money under the mat. And if you are hungry, you want to eat, and you don't have the money, no problem, eat. Eat whatever you like, you don't have to pay. This note is written there. So this person says, I went and paid, I took the fruit I wanted, checked the list, and I put the money there. And later on, he said, I went to meet this man. I said, who is this man? How do you just leave a shop like this, you know? And the man told a wonderful story. He said, my mother is in a state where she is partially paralyzed, maybe some Alzheimer's or something like this. So even mentally is not well. And there is no one to look after her. He said, I have no family. I am the only one. So he said, I said to my mother, what must I do? Because my fruit shop is outside on the road. And if I leave that fruit shop and I come here to the house, somebody will steal my fruit and go away. He says, my mother lifted her hands towards the sky, she made dua and she said, you stay here and you look after me and Allah will look after your shop. So the man said, what is this? I mean, Allah will look after my shop means what? She said, don't worry about that, just go. He says, that day and this day. He says, every day I open the shop, I put the stuff there, I put my sign up there, and then once in a while I go to see if, you know, when my mother is sleeping or something, I go to see if everything is alright. He said, till today, not only have I never had a loss, he said, I always have more money than whatever fruit has been sold. Because people leave more. They take and they leave more. He said, forget about loss. And he said, sometimes, he said, one day somebody left a pot of biryani. You know, and this is for your mother. The note saying, this is for your mother. Somebody leaves something else. So still today, nothing, absolutely no issue. Point I'm making is, the concept of barakah. That when we think about barakah, as I said the other day, we are so accustomed and attuned and, you know, our minds have been corrupted to think only in terms of money. Barakah is not only money. Barakah is everything that goes with it. If alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us in good health, Allah gives us izzah, Allah gives us muhabbat from our friends, Allah gives us, harmonious atmosphere in the home, you can have a lot of money, but your house can be like a living hell. You know, when you come to the house, there's always conflict and screaming and shouting and all kinds of nonsense. What will you do with the money? You eat the money? Every single example I'm giving you, I personally know somebody somewhere who is in that situation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve them from those situations. May Allah ease their lives. May Allah make it easy for them. But the point is that these are real things. I'm not making this up. Right? You can have a lot of money, but your health is you are an absolute basket case. Your health is from this hospital to that hospital, this test to that test. You are able to afford. You are able to afford the best treatment. You are being treated in Mayo Clinic. You are being treated. End of the day, whether it's Mayo Clinic or what, it is your body. Somebody is sticking some needle into it. Somebody is cutting it. Somebody is chopping it. What does it matter? Whether it is being done in America or it's being done on the moon or the sun. End of the day, it is your body which is suffering. Yeah, you have the money to pay the bills. What is the good of that money? Barakah is all of these things together. Safety and security and all of these things. These are very, very important things to keep in mind and to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me this peace and calm, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you into this masjid to pray Salatul Fajr. This is minallahi ta'ala. This is part of barakah. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave money, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave money to others, but that money now is making them sleep in their house. The money is making them sleep throughout. If they didn't have money, they would be standing at 6 o'clock on the on the crossroads waiting to get labor to go and work somewhere in some construction site, because otherwise they would not eat food that day. But because they have money, you put on the AC and you sleep peacefully till Dhuhr. Your money is a source of azab for you. Where is it? Where is the barakah? There's no barakah. Your money is buying Jahannam for you. You are paying for Jahannam every day. Because you have money, you spend half the night in some club or with some friends or somewhere, God knows what parlor. Because you have money. If you didn't have money, you would not be able to afford to get into those shops. Right? But because you have money, you are doing all this. And so you miss your salah. You are indulging in haram, or you are indulging in some waste of time or whatever it is. Now your money, what is this? Where is the barakah? Is this barakah? Very important for us to understand and remember these things and to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, for tawfiq, which is part of barakah. Now all of this comes only and only if we leave haram. You cannot have barakah and haram in the same place. You cannot have light and darkness in the same place. You cannot have hunger and a full belly in the same place. You cannot have sickness and health in the same place. These are two completely tazad ki cheez, two completely opposite things. You cannot gather two opposite things in one place. So also you cannot gather haram income or haram food and barakah in the same place. You earn haram, barakah is gone out of the window. You can sit and count the notes and the gold coins that you have till the day of judgment. That is not barakah. That is the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In kuntum mu'minin, Allah gave a conditional, if you are believers. What does it mean? If you don't want to get out of this, then according to this ayat of the Quran, you make your own interpretation. I don't even want to say it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq and to enable us to live a life which is pleasing to Him Jalla Jalaluhu. Bismillahi ta'ala. Tomorrow we will look at the last of these ayat. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.